There's a sweet in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that they have been revived when we shall leave this place. You may be seated. Diane and I were just talking about how Memorial Day being coincided with Pentecost Sunday kind of snuck up on us being together. So we almost had two services in one today. But first, our little service, mini service you might call it, of remembering those who have died in wars past. Perhaps you saw the display that Louis had encouraged you to look at that, and it strikes me as they really, at least two of them, are really boys that died young in age, and Melvin, I guess, was a little bit older, perhaps. Melvin Lippel, Clifford Wolf, and Leroy Tietjendorf. Sometimes, you know how you feel, but I feel that Memorial Day has kind of morphed into a day when we recognize all veterans who have died, but not necessarily in war. And I have mixed feelings about it because I don't want to take away the horror of losing a loved one in action and how that affects so many people. Sometimes with older veterans, such as myself. And we've got Veterans Day, okay? But let's remember. I read a poem. I did a little Memorial Day service, took part in one at Grand Meadows on Friday. Usually they have theirs on Monday, but the person who has done that for 15 years, couldn't do it. So Friday worked out better for all the crew there at Grand Meadows. And one thing I did was read a poem called In Flanders Fields, because to me it brings to that moment of when people were in action, fighting for their lives, for their platoons, and some would say for freedom. But this poem, written in the First World War by John McCrae, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who was a medic, and he did services for people who had been killed in action in World War I. I'm sure you've heard it. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up your quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, We shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. In Flanders fields. As a way of remembering the kind of country that they fought with and for, not joining forces with, to face the foe, we associate this hymn, 799, by America the Beautiful. School teacher wrote this. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom be across the wilderness. America, America. Confirm thy soul, self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, until all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream, sees beyond the years thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with sisterhood from sea to shining sea. I know Plato has a service tomorrow. Is that at the graveside out cemetery? As does Hutchinson at the county park there in town. And I'm singing at that one, too. Anyway, did we greet one another with God's peace? Why not, now that you've sat down, and you can still greet one another, but let's do that now. Passing God's peace. Good to have you back. This is working?
Yeah, hi,
Art. Oh, okay, all right, good. Sorry about that. Reminder that, there it is, yeah. I suppose it all depends where a person stands, huh? Dave Prain is going to be preaching next week, I think. It's going to be outside, hopefully. And hopefully I'll be outside in the Teton Valley visiting two of my kids and their spouses and three grandkids. And gosh, I don't know how many dogs now. But one grandchild, it's her turn to graduate from high school now. And so I'll be gone all week, pretty much, leaving on Wednesday. Pastor Al will be covering for me. Dave preaching next Sunday. Today, I guess slipped by me, but always a chance to give to one of our five special offerings. Today is a Strengthen the Church offering. You may notice on the board up there that we're a 5 for 5 church. That is, we take part in all five special offerings in the United Church of Christ, and Strengthen the Church is one. Our money goes towards, well, strengthening churches. I guess you write grants for those kinds of things, and it can be used for various things. But we've given to it, and I encourage you to give to it. I just write a separate check, is what I do for these special offerings. You might want to add Lauren Stockman to the list of Living with Care in Glencoe. He's in room 219, and Margie is still there in 218. They're right beside each other. And Barb is pretty much with Lauren during the waking hours. And I saw him last couple days ago, and he got up and sat in a chair. He's having heart issues, and he needs attention right now. So pray for Lauren and Barb. And Margie is, I've seen her several times now, and each time she's laying in bed because she can't put any weight on her ankle yet, but it's getting better and it's healing, and she does get up, of course, well, with help, but you got to be real careful with those bones and the ankle are fragile. It can happen to any of us at any time, I guess. Other joys, concerns? Oh, yeah. Could you hear that voice? The voice of God coming from on high. No, it's only Anne, okay. Noticing the flowers outside, would that be, Mike, was that part of your plan? I heard about that, so good to see him. First I thought, oh, we got benches to sit in out here. A couple of weeks ago I came and later did I learn that's for the flowers. Very nice touch, yeah. Other announcements, joys, concerns?
Pastor, I got 2 things.
You got 2 things.
I got 2 things. First one is, I neglected to mention 2 weeks ago, I talked to Jim Jensen's son, Jim.
Yeah.
And I said, asked him how his dad was doing. He said, you know, he's really thriving in this place. He was very terrified of even going there, right? He didn't want to be there, didn't want to be away from home, didn't want to be away from people.
And he's very good at meeting people and talking with them. And
yeah, so that was really good. That's good news. And the second one is tentatively planning a little bit of a church exterior cleanup. Maybe the last Sunday in June, we got a tree line straightener of the church. We should probably pay some attention to.
Okay.
More on that if it actually is going to happen.
Exterior, you said. In the yard, yeah. Okay. Could you hear? Jim, is moved to be close to his son, and I'm sure he's probably got nothing against farmers, but you know, a lot of the farmers from here, but he's probably meeting new people, maybe some city folk, and maybe he's still got farmers that probably are there too in Plymouth. Any other announcements, joys, or concerns? The gentleman sitting here is this your first time here, sir?
Yeah. I just kind of rolled into town this morning.
Ah.
I didn't really have any place to sleep, so I kind of snuck in here last night.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, you look like you're a friendly guy. Maybe we'll see you Tuesday at Olive's. Yeah, we can talk more. Other joys, concerns? Let's move on ahead then. I love what you did here, Peg. Instead of, what was it before? I can't even remember. Yeah, call to worship. We've been worshiping. Now it's called proclamation of praise. Is that your phrase? Did you invent that? You what? You found it somewhere. Well, at least you found it, yeah. Amen. Anyway, the same lineup. I say a line, and then you say a line. Today, of course, is the birthday of the church, when the Spirit was poured out in that young church just born. The peace of God be with you today. Receive with joy the gift of the Holy Spirit. We feel the winds of God blowing among us. We sense the tongues of fire empowering us. How amazing is the power of God it gives us. How manifold are the works of our Creator. The breath of God fills us with confidence. The Spirit creates new life within and among us. God calls us to be dreamers and prophets. God gives us a vision for a world of peace. May the glory of God endure forever. We will sing praise to God as long as we live. And this next part is taken from Jesus when there was a big celebration going at another festival at a time in Jesus' life on earth. It's called the Festival of Booths. And Jesus stood up and cried out, "Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. For out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Imagine that. I imagine that happening today, perhaps. If we go to all our festivals and things, whether it's here or there, the amusement park, whatever, where there's food and drink galore, and a guy stands up and says, "Is anyone thirsty?" And of course, Jesus is talking about the living water, the one when we drink of, we live forever. So let's pray that prayer in unison. Powerful God, whose ways are beyond our knowing, we long to grow spiritually. We are thirsty for the living water you have promised to those who seek. We are eager to catch the Spirit, to be set on fire with confidence, and to trust to use the gifts you have given. Pentecost happen again in this gathering of your people. Inspire us to witness to your love and prophesy in your name. Give us courage to speak of your deeds of power and to take the risks of daring discipleship. Amen. Which translated from the Latin means, "So be it." We sing again another Spirit song. Spirit of the living God, fall. fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Cleanse me, teach me, hold me, reach me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Shield me, free me, call me, lead me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear.
Easier said than done, of course. Fear can be a good thing when it's converted into courage and strength and confidence. And no one can really do that for us. I'm sure we need to take the step to letting the Spirit work in us. So we pray a prayer of confession together to say that, oh God, we are frightened by strange tongues and people out of control. We want to manage our own lives and assure our own safety. We are afraid that you will ask more of us than we are willing to risk. We do not want others to consider us strange or fanatical. We are skeptical of dreams and visions. We cannot trust some people who ask us to love. We want to believe. But how can we know that you are more than our collective imagination? The hope we cling to in our despair. Help us, God. Amen. And be assured that as we cry out for help, admitting our shortcomings, God is more than willing to pardon us. Well, here are scriptures read by Peg Flusseman now. And then we're going to sing another spirit song that kind of tells the story of a brief synopsis of the working of the Spirit throughout the ages. You can follow along with the scriptures. I think you're using the same one. Mm-hmm. They have, yeah.
Our first reading today is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our second reading today is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3b through 13. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking thus by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit of the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses." And thus ends our readings for today.
Let's sing that song. We've sung it before here. Diane reminded me. Spirit song. And do you have the music or the words or one or the other? See if you can tell what period of time and when was happening here. As we sing, Spirit. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind on the sea. You moved on the water, you called to the deep, then you coaxed up the mountains with the valleys of sleep. And over the eons you called to each thing, wake from your slumbers and rise on your wing. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You swept through the desert, you stung with the sand, and you goaded your people with the law and the land. And when they were blinded with their idols and lies, then you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You sang in a stable, you cried from a hill, from the bondage of silence, the whole world was still. And down in the city, you called once again, when you blew through your people on the rush of the wind. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea. You call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes, from the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes, with bold new decisions, your people arise. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness, wind, wind on the sea.
The cost of Pentecost and the joy also go together. I thought of the United Church of Christ statement of faith. We are called to enjoy the cost and the joy of discipleship. The cost and the joy. And I wonder if we don't experience that in our daily living. Think of this early church once again, meeting, hiding out for the Jewish authorities, the leaders, and the Roman authorities. They were out to get this troublemaking group who insisted that this Jesus had risen from the dead. Where was he now? They were afraid that they would be hauled away, and at least jailed and probably killed. The Spirit came. a rush of wind and fire on their heads, not burning them up, but warming their hearts. The wind, a call from God, is to go out. Don't be afraid. And so they go out and they're speaking in other tongues, other languages. And there's a lot of debate whether what exactly that meant. But the important thing is that all the Jews were there from various groups, ethnic groups in the area. And Peggy did a great job of pronouncing all those names, the people of Phrygians and all this and that. And I asked her how she did that. She says, well, my Bible, there was a pronunciation guide. I said, oh, I got to see that Bible. But here they are, and they hear these ones basically praising God in their own language. The Spirit comes. Sometimes we assemble in fear, maybe with things like, gee, I'm afraid the pastor's going to go a little long this morning. What about this? I'm going to miss this game, or I'm going to miss this event. I hope he doesn't go overtime. I'm just kidding, kind of, but sometimes our fears we have are minimal compared to what that early church went through, the cost. I think I told you this years ago, but I overheard a conversation once. Two gentlemen were speaking, and there were other people around. I don't remember where it was or who they were or anything, but that's good. But I heard one of them say to the other, he says, it was on a weekend like this, a three-day weekend. He said, you're going to go to church Sunday morning? And the guy says, yeah, I suppose I better. The wife wants me to, and I'll get to hear what all I've done wrong this week again. Did you know that same guy too? No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes we get that. And I'm the same way. If I'm sitting out there listening, it's, oh my God, woe is me. But we're not trying to pick on anybody, but to say that we're human. And we say what we say, what might not please someone else, but then someone else might be waiting to hear the preacher say what they want the preacher to say. Anyway, I just want to say that I think this church and this community works together pretty well in all the committees and the boards that you're on in the church and in the city, and the Women's Guild, and how they work together to help with the budget, provide nice edible food, the salad luncheon is always great, the other things that we can keep up and we can give as a church to our five special offerings that consider others down the line that might not have it so good as us in other parts of the world. Missions, we call it. Costa Rica, we support that. Wonderful. You've been through that, the fears and the anxiety, and you felt the call, and you know that you're important, but it's important to work together. Sure, it's not like that early church where very dangerous to go out, and it's happening yet today. You can be burned at the stake for your faith. You can be, well, during the time of the pilgrims in England, if you were suspected of being a witch when you were only trying to understand and to speak about what the Bible said, you weren't supposed to, and you must be a witch, they'd throw you in the lake. And if you were a witch, you'd slip to the bottom. If you weren't, you'd float to the top. You were sent to the lions, to the lion's den, to be eaten by lions and killed. even jailed, especially still happening today. Where's the joy in that? Where's the cost? Do you ever think that? And sometimes you see pictures, you read stories about them that somehow if they knew they were living for the Lord, they were being persecuted for that. They were willing to die, even joyfully. I know I told you before about my ancestors, the Germans from Russia, which at that time they moved was in Russia, in the Ukraine. But several years later, as at least the Germans from Russia in my part of the Dakotas, where we grew up, they got out early because they knew it wasn't going to be so good with the different czar, especially in the 1900s as Russia went to communism. And the ones that stayed behind didn't have it so good. They were killed, once jailed, and purposely put on trains, in various trains. They'd break up families and send them north and west up through the country of Russia, which is vast, as you know. Persecution. They came here to seek freedom, freedom of worship. They could still keep their German tongue, and as you know, churches were still held. The 20s and 30s and 1900s, smaller towns, country churches had German services. And you knew you could worship freely. So we go on. I remember when we were in Beijing, China, oh gosh, about 15 years ago now, maybe, Glennis and I, we went to, had friends that lived there, Dr. John Rennick and his wife. Dr. John Rennick worked in the clinic in Hutchinson for 3 years as a psychiatrist, and his wife was a nurse, not practicing it, but staying at home. They raised 5 kids. But they invited us to come to Beijing and live with them for, well, I guess it was a couple of weeks. And I remember one day, John says to me, there's a young woman, a young lady, who wants to talk with you. She, a friend of theirs that they knew, and they knew that I was a pastor. And so we met in a cafe, John and Judy and Glennis and myself. And then this young woman, oh, I guess she was maybe in her late teens, but she had had a conversion experience to accept Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And she was wanting to know what that was like in America. Were we persecuted for that? I said, no, it's, you know, some people think that's cool, some think it's a little weird, but no one's persecuted for it. But she was being very careful who she was seen with and what she was saying, because it could be easy to be overheard. Is this being rebellious against the Chinese powers, the communists? I just throw this in too. It's because it's kind of a funny story. Judy, that's John's wife, and I were walking the streets of Beijing. We just went for a walk, and we're walking on the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, Judy says to me, oh, Brian, move over. There's a party car behind us. Okay. So I expected the kids, you know, drinking beer and driving crazy and all this kind of thing, having a party. But I said, I didn't see anything like that, Judy. He said, well, that the party car was the communist party car. And you better get out of the way when one of those road hits the road, because that rules. Little did I know, but more did I find out. But I think of that experience, especially with that young woman, the one time, just that she had to be careful about witnessing for for Jesus Christ. So we go on. Any one of us can be a witness. Any one of us can be a prophet. We've already talked about that a little bit in our call to worship, but I read this little piece in one of my commentaries by Thomas Long. He says this on page 17 of his commentary on Acts. Unlikely recipients as daughters, the aged, youth, and servants, everybody can be a prophet. These special representatives of God, to be full of wisdom and visions, but who would ever think that people on Social Security, junior high school students, motel maids, whatever, have any word from God to proclaim? Now we learn that God intends to grant these gifts to everyone, even those, perhaps especially those, on the margins of church and society. In Acts, we see a glimpse of how this promise will be fulfilled, but much remains to be accomplished, he ends with. One thing I read was, if I can find what it, here it is, slip down here. I want to end with a poem, and it was written by a woman by the name of Jan Berry. It's called The Exuberant Spirit of God, and if you want to know what exuberant is, of course, it means full of joy. Yeah. Abundance, superabundance, you can't wait. The exuberant spirit of God, and this had four stanzas, and after every stanza, I'll hold up my hands like this, and you just say, we praise you. Exuberant spirit of God, bursting with the brightness of flame into the coldness of our lives to warm us with a passion for justice and beauty, we praise you. Exuberant Spirit of God, sweeping us out of the dusty corners of our apathy, to breathe vitality into our struggles for change. We praise you. Exuberant Spirit of God, speaking words that leap over barriers of mistrust to convey messages of truth and new understanding. We praise you. Exuberant Spirit of God, flame, wind, speech, burn, breathe, speak to us. We praise you, God. Fill your world with justice and with joy. We praise you. I guess that was five. Another spirit song. 384. And it's our prayer, so we'll sing one stanza, then we'll pray, and then sing the last stanza. Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. And oh God, as lambs, we need to be led by you and the protection you offer, yet the journey to the top of the mountain where the sweet grasses are in the summertime, and yes, even into the valley, and to be corralled at times, be confined, so we can better hear your word. Thank you for this church and the people here. They sense, or if they don't sense, they sure act like they're guided by your comfort and your spirit and your shepherdness, if there is such a thing. I know it's hard, especially when you're not feeling well, when you're hurting and pain, suffering and shame, when you're isolated maybe at home, or maybe not in your home, maybe an apartment, or perhaps maybe in the home. Just isolated, stand alone in a crowd. Help us to know there's always somebody that'll help with this or that. And help us to be ones who can spot that person in a crowd who's lost and lonely and willing to call attention to himself through dangerous ways. Suicide by cop. Anyway, we could go on and on praying, but it's all here in the prayer that you taught us to pray together. The words of Jesus said, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness. Oh, come and sing this song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his spirit tires of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your land. Jesus, oh Jesus, fill your land. Let's stand and sing as we bring our offerings to the altar. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Together we say, thank you, God, for filling our lives with good things. The abundance of your gifts to us is beyond our counting. Bless all that we return to you for the work of ministry among us and beyond us. Let your spirit enliven our caring and add effectiveness to all our doing. Make us one in Christ Jesus our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gifts may be.
All that we have is yours alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen.
If you can find 394, maybe you know this one by heart. Short and sweet. Might do it a couple times. Greater is he that is in us as he that is in the world. Here we go. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Or greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me as he that is in the world. Or how about us? Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us is he that is in the world. One more time. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me as he that is in the world. And now, oh gosh, I guess we forgot this, didn't we? We better do it. Thank you, God. Did we do the offertory prayer? We did that, didn't we? Yeah, we just didn't do, we give thee but thine own. We did that too? Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance and give you peace. Amen.